Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
There is no question, of course, that this trade agreement is much better than NAFTA.
Nancy Pelosi singing the praises of Donald Trump exactly 1 hour after she got her house to put together two articles of impeachment towards Donald Trump. Wow! This is the thing that you need to take away from this, folks. Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. Happy to be with you here on this Tuesday. Nice sunny day. The thing that you need to understand about what took place this morning, I'm sure you're aware that the Democrats have introduced two articles of impeachment against the president, abuse of power and what was the other one?
Obstruction of Congress.
Oh, yeah, of course. So these are the two that they put forward. Forget about quid pro quo. Forget about bribery. Those are the two columns that they put this impeachment into. And within an hour, they come to an agreement on the NAFTA replacement of the USMCA, or as we like to call it on the Annie Fry Show, the USMCA.
First time I ever heard that. So
yeah, it started before you were here. Okay. But we haven't been able to talk about it for a while because there was nothing happening with it. Do you know how to say it? Can you say it? Do you need to practice?
What, USMCA or USMCA?
USMCA.
Oh, I'm done with that.
Mm-mm.
USMCA.
It's happening.
Ba-ch-bow.
So you have it. An hour between we've completed our endeavor to impeach the president of the United States to when they can get a massively beneficial to the United States trade deal agreement with the president. Just imagine if they would have been doing the business of the people this whole time, what they could have been doing. Lowering drug prices, fixing health care, helping trade, helping our local farmers. I mean, good grief. The indication here that somehow or another they can, here's the phrase, makes me crazy when I hear it, walk and chew gum at the same time. Who struggles with that? Nobody struggles with that.
If you've never seen somebody struggle with it, then consider yourself blessed.
Walk and chew gum at the same time?
If you see somebody struggling, it's very, very sad.
If you are actively mentally applying brain cells to the fact that you're chewing gum, I don't think that you need to be chewing gum.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You really should just try to walk.
Just walk. Focus on the important things. Put away the trident and then just put one foot in front of the other. That's what everyone keeps saying. This is the Democrats trying to show you how they can walk and chew gum at the same time. And I'm like, so why did they not do this a long, long, long time ago? If they truly could, this is actually evidence that they cannot. And that it was so pre-baked because Donald Trump took care of the business for you that you just had to get impeachment off the table and get done with whatever was polling well in your base at the time to finally get these articles of impeachment put through. That, okay, now that this is done, now we can therefore move forward and deal with the USMCA.
Nancy Pelosi is a politician, as you know.
That's all she is.
This is very, very political. She did it today so that it would get a little bit of attention because she wants credit for having passed it. And she's taking tons of credit, by the way. She said, well, this is a completely different deal than the one that Donald Trump. No, it's not. It's like a tweaked deal by the Democrats so they can say they did something. But the reason that she did it today is not only that they could take credit for accomplishing something while impeachment was going on, but also that I think that it would get buried. So today it's a news story. It won't be in a week. And they'll be glad about that because they don't want to give Donald Trump credit for anything.
Let's listen to what Kevin McCarthy, the GOP leader in the House.
If you need any more evidence of how unpopular impeachment is, watch the two press conferences today. After announcing impeachment within less than an hour, the speaker finally relented and said she would bring USMCA up. She has held it for more than a year, making America weaker in our negotiations with China. Our number one and number two trader, Mexico and Canada, was being held up within our own agreement. But those who are vulnerable in this vote for impeachment continuing to make the argument, as the rest of America was too. At no time when she would bring this bill up would there ever fear of it not passing.
Exactly. It could have been passed a long, long time ago, but because the Democrats had to choose between walking and chewing gum, we didn't do it. And in my opinion, they chose the gum chewing instead of the walking in that whole analogy. So lots of news happening today. These two articles of impeachment introduced here.
The House Committee on the Judiciary is introducing two articles of impeachment charging the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, with committing high crimes and misdemeanors. The first article is for abuse of power. It is an impeachable offense for the President to exercise the powers of his public office to obtain an improper personal benefit while ignoring or injuring the national interest.
If you go back and you look at Jerry Nadler handling that trial yesterday, what a sideshow. You want to know why there aren't going to be any more hearings in the judiciary? Just watch what took place in the in front of the Judiciary Committee for this week. Not good. Not a good look. There's only been one hearing this week. It seemed like it was seven.
No kidding. It went long yesterday, too.
Ridiculous. Here's more from Nadler.
The Judiciary Committee will meet to consider these articles of impeachment and to make a recommendation to the full House of Representatives. We do not take this action lightly, but we have taken an oath to defend the Constitution. And unlike President Trump, we understand that our duty, first and foremost, is to protect the Constitution and to protect the interests of the American people.
So let's go over real quick before we get to highlights here, Ryan, some of those important polls. The Democrats doing the tough work. You know, they do this solemnly. They don't do this flippantly. They're very understanding of the weight with which their responsibility carries. And they feel as though this is the way they put country before party. How's that working out for them?
Not well. Overall, just as far as the whole nation is concerned, impeachment support from the day before it started, which was November 10th, through today, has dropped by about 6 percentage points, which when you consider...
Down to what?
Well, it was a spread of support by plus nine. Now it's down to plus three.
So it's
still
waning.
Overall still supported. But when you're including big left-leaning states like California, that's how you get a Hillary Clinton popular vote win, is that they run up the totals in those states. The more important polls are showing that Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin are trending very much and hard in the wrong direction for impeachment and for Democrats. Biden's lead over Trump in those states is also dropping, as well as all the Democratic candidates in those states. So it's all bad news, and it's probably all related to impeachment.
Yeah, and those election numbers are important. Here's Kevin McCarthy reacting to what these Democrats have been motivated by the whole time.
Over the fact that the president won the election and they lost. Just last week at this podium, Nancy Pelosi went to point out that they created a timeline to impeach President Trump that she said started 2.5 years ago.
That's not untrue. The effort to impeach the president of the United States has been underway for basically the entirety of the president's administration, if not even before election night was completely over, when it started to look as though the president could actually win. Remember the week before Donald Trump was elected? Anchors and pundits were laughing at the prospect of Donald Trump being the president of the United States. Hillary Clinton practically had the green check mark next to her name in many states, and she lost states that weren't even supposed to be on the table. They're still jarred from that. It's really unfortunate that we've spent all of this time investigating different types of ways that we can impeach the president of the United States, and knowing that within an hour of finally culminating two articles of impeachment that the Democrats have put together out of this Judiciary Committee, that they are able to pass the USMCA or come to an agreement on that. And then have Nancy Pelosi here talking about how it's much better.
There is no question, of course, that this trade agreement is much better than NAFTA.
So, okay, where you been? Why did it take this long? Oh, it's because you were distracted and you forgot to do the business of the American people. I guess now look out, because here it comes. Maybe there's going to be an open floodgate of wonderful legislation passed on Capitol Hill that's going to be beneficial for the American people. You think? I doubt it.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
Hillary Clinton would be leading the race for the Democratic nomination for president if she declared her candidacy, according to a new poll and The Hill. The online survey by Harris Poll, which was released by Harvard University's Center for American Political Studies, shows the former Secretary of State in first place with 21% of the vote. Joe Biden, the current frontrunner, would receive 20%, 1 point behind her, while Senator Bernie Sanders is at 12%. Senator Elizabeth Warren comes in fourth at 9%. Followed by New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who is at just 7%.
And doesn't think that Communist China China has a dictator.
Hey.
Go Mike Bloomberg.
Sorry, got a piece of ice there and I didn't
mean to. You can't chew it around
water.
You can't chew it around Annie.
Don't be chewing that ice, Frank.
I didn't plan on chewing it. I didn't plan on drinking it.
I have never, ever, been offended by the way Frank eats or drinks anything.
I'm really disappointed by the fact that it slipped through the hole in my turbis.
Yeah, well.
It's that crushed ice we have here.
We talk a lot about it on the show.
The Board of Bi-State Development, which operates the transit services on both sides of the river, slated to have a closed-door meeting today to address the possibility that it may be able to bail out and take over the beleaguered Loop trolley. Trolley operators have already announced that it would cease operations on December 29th of this year. It received a loan of $90,000 in mid-November to keep it afloat. Now, bi-state leaders are concerned that a default on the federal loan by the Loop trolley would have negative impacts on other transportation projects in the region in the future. Ugh. So that's why they want to step in to make sure we don't get that blow of not getting any more of the federal dollars.
Let me ask a stupid question. You said bi-state commission?
It's the board. It's bi-state. It's metro. It's the buses and... Yes.
But that includes Illinois, then?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
That's ridiculous.
Why?
That is so ridiculous.
No, no.
I vote no.
It's a regional group.
Mm-hmm.
It's a regional authority that operates buses and Metrolink on both sides of the river. It's been around for decades.
I understand what it is, and I understand exactly why I would not want Illinois having any sort of financial obligation of any kind in what's going on in the Central West End.
A Missouri mother's unapologetic Facebook post on Monday defending her son's decision to fight back against a bully has gone viral. This should make for an interesting discussion later. Allison Davis posted a selfie picture of her son, Drew, who was suspended from school for beating up the kid that has been tormenting and bullying him since middle school. But rather than being upset over her son's behavior, Davis said she was far from it. Not even a little bit, she said. I know as a parent I'm supposed to be upset with him for resorting to violence or getting suspended, but I'm not. Davis's viral post amassed more than 235,000 likes and more than 138,000 reshares on Facebook.
The University of Missouri introduced its new head football coach this morning, the 33rd in school history. Eli Drinkwitz comes to Missouri after one season as head coach at Appalachian State. His new salary at Mizzou, $4 million a year. Quite the upgrade from the $750,000 he made last year. The Blues will look to rebound from their 5-2 drubbing they took on against the Leafs on Saturday night. A matchup against Buffalo this evening. The puck drop 6 p.m. in Buffalo against the Sabres.
What's going on with the Dallas Stars, coach? Do you know about that? No?
No, I don't know either. What is it?
He was replaced. There was a statement put out, something about conduct and behavior. I don't know.
Well, the Calgary Flames coach was let go a couple weeks ago for
this just happened.
Behavior. Okay, now I'm not up to date on the Dallas Stars.
Saw the headline, and I saw people asking questions about it, and it looked interesting enough for me to want to know someone who could condense it into two sentences to tell me. Not enough for me to research it myself.
Because anytime a high-profile person gets let go based on a questionable behavior, you go,
Yeah.
I'm questioning it.
The hockey coach for the Dallas Stars seems a little more interesting to me. I don't know. We'll Google it, and we'll tell you when we come back. What a tease! What a tease. We have Hogan Gidley from the White House is going to join us at 2:10, so stick around. I cannot wait to hear from the White House regarding the articles of impeachment introduced today. Anybody surprised by that? Of course you're not. Of course you're not. Also, we have a really exciting giveaway today in our 12 days of giveaways here on the Annie Fry Show, a Cardinals bobblehead holiday pack for the 2020 season. When we come back, I'm going to let Katie play the sounder for you so you can know what to listen for, but it'll probably happen, sometime in the 1 o'clock hour maybe?
Yeah.
That's just a little hint. I'm not always going to give you hints, but I will today. So stick around, and we'll tell you what the sounder is going to sound like when we come back, and we'll tell you that really exciting story about the Dallas Stars coach that I couldn't be bothered to Google before. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
I'll examine the opposing witness. That's a point of inquiry.
Not shout out in the middle of testimony.
You need to call ball and strikes the right way. You don't interrupt either one of them, Chairman. You're a questioner or the witness. Bang it harder. It still doesn't make the point that you're not doing it right.
Bang it harder. It doesn't matter. That's funny. Is this happening right now? Should we listen to it? So the Attorney General, Bill Barr, is making some comments here after the IG report, which we haven't even talked about yet. Should we do this or should we talk about the Dallas Stars coach?
I don't know. What's bigger news?
Actually, there's no information on the Dallas Stars coach. Just lots of questions.
It's a lot of PR language.
More questions. So let's listen in and hear what Bill Barr has to say about the IG report.
And I personally think the subject matter of it, which was the fact, you know, some vague allusion to the fact that the Russians may have something that they could dump. At that time in May 2016, there was rampant speculation going on in the media, on the blogosphere, and in political circles that Hillary Clinton's email server had in 2014 been hacked, and therefore the Russians might have those emails. So drawing the conclusion that this kind of vague comment related to and showed pre-knowledge of the DNC hack and dump, I think was a big stretch. But let me just finalize it, which is, from my experience, the normal thing to do in this kind of situation, and I have had an analogous experience here, is to go to the campaign. And here, I don't think there's a legitimate explanation for why they didn't, especially because they went to the Russians.
Well, I think actually in the report, I think it does say that they considered this, but there were concerns that because the campaign, that it would be alerting the campaign. If there was
and my answer
criminal
to that
activity
is,
going on, they would be alerting the campaign and they would be able to shut it down.
Right. And what the FBI person said as to why he didn't is he said, we only do that if we are certain, if there's no possibility whatever that the person is witting of their, and that's simply not true. I mean, I have authorized defensive briefings, and I know of defensive briefings that are regularly conducted. You look at all the circumstances. If your purpose was to protect the election, then you would have done a defensive briefing here, because the chances of people like Sessions or Chris Christie being in cahoots with the Russians were pretty minimal. But if there was stuff going on, then by going in, you brace them and you disrupt the activity in time to protect the election. But it just doesn't hold water, because on August 4th, they contacted the head of Russian intelligence and said, we know what you're up to, you better stop it. They did again in later August, and President Obama did it directly in September. So it doesn't strike me as plausible that you would tell the Russians, who clearly were guilty of interference, but you wouldn't go and talk to the campaign. That makes no sense.
So you believe the predicate was very, very flimsy, essentially.
Yeah.
You've just laid that out. So why did they do it? Do you think there was some political motivation on the part of people at the FBI to, or the Justice Department, or to mostly the FBI at the time, to go after the Trump campaign in this way?
That's why we have Durham. I mean, Durham, you know, is able to look at all the evidence. He's able to not only look at the evidence within the FBI, he's able to require people to testify.
This is the U.S. attorney in Connecticut.
He's able to talk to other agencies. He's able to talk to private parties. There was a lot of swirl of activity going on at this time. It wasn't all in the FBI. So I think he will have a broader appreciation of all the facts, and a determination can be made. I don't know what the motivations were, and I'm not saying they were improper motivations, but I think it's premature to you know, rule definitively there wasn't. Now, in that regard, people have to understand the role of the IG. You know, we are an agency that makes discretionary decisions every day, thousands of them, and the internal watchdog, his general approach, and it's the right approach, and I respect it, is to say, look, if the people involved give me reasonable explanations for what they do, that is, their explanation is not unreasonable on their face, and I can't find any documentary or testimonial evidence that contradicts it, I will accept it. And that's what happened here. He said, I haven't found evidence of improper motive. He did not, as contrary to what a lot of the media is reporting, he did not find there was no improper motive. He didn't find evidence of improper motive.
The evidence of absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence, right? But so Christopher Wray, the FBI director, similarly said yesterday in response to the report, the report did not find, we did not find political bias or improper motivation. Again, do you challenge that?
No, I'm just saying what the IG found. The IG said, I did not find documentary or testimonial evidence contradicting the reason, you know, the explanations that were given me, and I accepted them. He is not definitively ruling that there was no bias. I think that's why we have Durham.
Well, the initial investigation, the FBI, again in the report, it says that the FBI saw that, and you referred to that initial conversation between George Papadopoulos and Alexander Downer. It's just referred to in the report as, I love these acronyms, the FFG, Friendly Foreign
Government. Friendly Foreign Government.
Friendly Foreign Government, FFG.
We never heard of this Downer guy.
We also have CHS, I believe, right? Confidential Human Sources and various others. There was this conversation between Papadopoulos and the Australian, which, by the way, wasn't reported, actually, for about 2 months, I think, after the initial conversation. But the FBI regarded that as a tipping point, given what it had seen about the WikiLeaks publication, what it knew about the DNC hack already, and that this some... Is it not reasonable that they thought, given that they knew there was this extensive Russian effort to intervene in the election, along comes somebody inside the Trump campaign who says, you know what, we've got this information, possibly I've been offered information, possibly a dirt on Hillary Clinton. Is that not reasonable then for the FBI to go ahead and say, you know what, we probably need to investigate this?
Well, that's why I sort of expounded on this a little bit in the front end. The basic official version is that we thought the Russians were hacking into the DNC, and on July 23rd, WikiLeaks dumped DNC emails. Then a foreign official comes in and says, you know, back in May, this guy said something in a bar to me. It was a suggestion. And before they even interviewed that person, they opened a counterintelligence investigation on the whole campaign on the idea that this must reflect pre-knowledge of the hack. I'm saying that when you actually look at the surrounding circumstances, that was a bridge too far. I mean, it wasn't reasonable for them to assume that, and the proper response was to talk to the campaign. That's normally
so the Attorney General right now is responding to questions with the host from a Wall Street Journal show. What's his name? It was up there. I don't know.
Wall Street Journal guy.
Wall Street Journal guy, the WSJG, and really kind of... We were commenting about this, the visual of this. This guy, the Attorney General, is chill.
Mm-hmm.
He is casually sitting in his chair. He doesn't have his, coat is unbuttoned, and he's just kind of explaining things. He doesn't seem as though he has been floored by this IG report. He seems as though that is a chapter in a really big book, that he knows what chapters have already been written and which chapters are coming here in the future. And it's almost like a wait and see type of thing.
And he looks like he's really listening to the questions that are being asked of him, like taking the time out, nodding, replying, and then taking a moment to respond. And I'm like, that's very telling.
One of the interesting things that he just pointed out there was saying that the IG report, this is such legal speak, and I'm going to botch it crazily here. It didn't find evidence, but that doesn't suggest that there isn't evidence to be found. Just in the pursuit that the Inspector General Horowitz looked at what he looked at. And again, if you look at Durham's response, the special investigator looking into this, appointed by the Attorney General here, looking into the crimes that they had been tipped off with in part because of the IG report, because Bill Barr had been aware of this report, what, like a month or two ago?
Mm-hmm.
Understanding the response of Durham yesterday is, you need to understand that the investigation that we're pursuing uses information from the IG report, but that is a portion of the information and the people that we have had access to, that we have investigated, that we are looking into. The IG report isn't the entire summation of what the special investigator is looking into. It's much broader than that. Much broader than that. And Bill Barr, I'm telling you, he's got a chill about him right now that makes me feel like there's going to be more. And whatever that is, we will know down the road. What he was just talking about there at the end is Papadopoulos being overseas, having a conversation with the ambassador from Australia about knowledge he had of Russia having Hillary's emails, which, if we know the story that we have heard straight from George Papadopoulos on this show, Papadopoulos was told like the day or two before he had that conversation with the Australian ambassador by this Joseph Mifsud professor. Oh, and by the way, did you know, blah, 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 Russia has Hillary emails. So Papadopoulos just turned around and forwarded that information off to a guy in a bar who happened to be the Australian ambassador. And then the Australian ambassador takes that and goes straight to the FBI and says, Papadopoulos with the Trump campaign has Hillary's emails and knows that Russia has them. That's the Russia collusion. It's all right there. And the question is, who is Mifsud? What did he know? Where did he know it from? Why did he have a chance encounter with Papadopoulos that was followed up in a short amount of time and turnaround with this Australian ambassador who was really quickly eager to go talk to the American FBI to say, oh, here's the information you need. Open investigation on a candidate, the lead Republican candidate running for the presidency of the United States. Pretty fishy, which is why we have a special investigator looking into the genesis of this. He says that the predicate for this for the looking into Russia collusion was very flimsy. So we will wait and see.
The problem is exactly what you just said, that just because they didn't find evidence doesn't mean there isn't evidence to be found. That is verbatim the argument the Democrats have used against the Mueller report, except that that report went way longer.
Well, except for they had the special investigator with 2 years and $25 million dollars look into it.
Way longer investigation, way more in-depth investigation. And I guarantee you they're going to say, well, why are they doing this Durham report? Because we already know that the IG said there was no evidence.
Let's take a quick break. We get your feedback. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. The IG report, was it a big flop? Do you think, are you really disappointed in the outcome of that IG report? Or what do you think is going to happen next? You can let me know. You can call it 866-455-9797 or 314-241-9797 or comment on the Facebook Live, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. We are inching towards 10,000, folks. I'm so excited about it. Thank you for being there. And again, I've had a couple people messaging me saying, I used to like your page, but for some reason now I don't like your page. It's okay. Maybe, you know, just go check. Trust but verify, right? Isn't that what they say? We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. You know this song?
I do know this song.
You do, Ren?
No.
It's George Strait.
I don't know anything about country music in any era.
When you ask my son who sings this, he'll say, "The King."
Oh, man.
Very cute.
Died in the wool.
My husband's taught my son two things. That Jesus loves him and that George Strait is the king of country.
I actually think
two most important things you need to know.
I know about this song because of you.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah. Yeah, we might have played
it. I know nothing about country music in any period of American history.
That's the golden age. I want that country music back.
Of American history is the golden age?
No, George Strait. Like the 90s, the late 80s, and then it started to go. I think Shania Twain might have been a big reason why it started to go more pop. I like Shania Twain too, but like OG Shania Twain, I really like her.
Yeah, country music is not country music anymore.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean it's bad. It's just not what it was. Make it come back. All right, 314-241-9797. We were listening to the Attorney General there reacting to the IG report. We have heard quite a few people trying to prop it up and say, okay, this is it, this is done. It's very interesting if you compare the IG report to the Mueller report. Here's Britt Hume.
Whether the conclusions that the Inspector General drew about whether the investigation, just the start of the investigation, was properly predicated or not, whether he's right about that, saying that it was, and whether there was political bias or not aside, this was very serious misconduct on the part of the FBI.
And that is getting lost in the shuffle. I guess when the IG report comes out on the same day that we are right at the end of our impeachment inquiry and, you know, within 24 hours, you have the impeachment articles released and all of this other stuff is going on. We haven't even talked about Pensacola. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
There was is anybody not calling it a terrorist attack?
No, it completely is.
It's ridiculous. 314-241-9797. Walt, thanks for calling the show.
Thanks, Annie.
Sure.
Yeah, I think we have to look at the IG report as what it was asked to do. And I think he did what he was asked to do. He's limited, and he can't be doing anything beyond the scope of what he's been told to do. So I'm okay with it, but I'm not really happy, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But I'm really more concerned, and I think we need to talk about this more, is that the Democrats are the ones now trying to rig the system of the vote, not Russia, not all the other people. The Democrats are trying to do it. And by doing an impeachment on the president, that's what they're after. They don't care if, you know, anything else. They just want to be able to keep him, you know, against the wall. And I heard yesterday on Fox News, and I think this number's right, if they did the impeachment on Obama, they would have had 22 different parts to it because he did just what they're blaming Trump plus many, many other things.
Well, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. And, you know, I think the point that he's making there about taking the IG report for what it is very important. And I gleaned that from Hans von Spakovsky in the spring, which is the IG report is a report. It is an audit of what took place inside the FBI that led to the beginning of the Russia collusion investigation. Just tell us what happened. There was going to be no charge out of that. There was going to be no criminal referrals out of that. It would be up to the Attorney General to take the IG report and then choose to take action or choose not to take action. And the Attorney General took action a while ago. Durham has been investigating for some time. So we just have to continue to wait and see. 314-241-9797. Kim, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Kim. Thanks for giving us a ring.
I've been in and out, but I heard you make the comment, so does anybody else think there's something fishy going on? Mm. And so I wanted to call and speak to that. And I remember that right after President Trump was elected, they started talking about impeachment then. And it's like every couple of months, the charges, quote unquote charges, change. But if you add that together with back in June of 2017, there was the shooting on the baseball field by the supposedly by the man in Belleville. Mm-hmm. And then in January of 2018, there was a train crash of all the Republicans going to an outing. And then the fact that, like I said, the charges keep changing. And I just heard Nancy Pelosi say something this morning that floored me. They asked her if she thought they had enough votes to impeach him. And she said very dismissively, oh, we don't count the votes. We just listen to the people raise their voices. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't even believe she said that.
Yeah.
And then the fact that the USMCA agreement has sat on Nancy Pelosi's desk for like 4 months and she's done nothing. But then she sits down with Trumpka, who's basically, I guess, kind of a mob boss. And then it's done and submitted in 2 hours. It's like, OK, yeah, that's just way too many coincidences and way too much stuff. That's just out of the norm being done when Hillary was, they found out she did a whole lot more and they just kind of gave her a nod and a wink.
Yeah. Well, Kim, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I don't know how all those things necessarily tie together, but I will say that the way that we report on things Republicans do versus Democrats, what they do and things that are done to Republicans and things that are done to Democrats, it's a major story difference in the way that those things are addressed. And I used to think that Americans were getting apathetic to this. I think we're beyond apathy now. I think people are starting to get frustrated. I think people are starting, apathy is too expensive. What you get for apathy, what you lose for apathy, for not investing in knowing and participating in the conversation, which is kind of why I said yesterday about whether or not people are watching these actual hearings. I do think they're watching, and I don't know that they're watching for lengthy periods of time. I have seen people on Twitter tweeting things about being frustrated with the way business is being handled in Washington, D.C., that I don't follow for political reasons. People are dipping their toe in this water because they've just had enough. Mm-hmm. And it's not ever people coming, you know, bursting out into the public scene on social media with their MAGA hat on or bursting out and saying, okay, that's it. I've had enough of Trump. This is the final straw in December of 2019. It's like they've realized that they feel like they're the adults in the room and they're just tired of it. You get to the point where you've had enough. You know how as a parent, we've talked about this before, Ryan and Katie, you might have been on the other end of this, maybe even with my children. But when your kids are being obnoxious, but you're used to a certain level of obnoxiousness, because how could you not be? There are three kids running around. You know, I've got three kids. Ryan has three kids. There is a certain level of noise that is always present in your life. You get used to that. Now, if Katie comes into my home, you're going to be like, why not? And be like, well, it might be entertaining for you to and cute when you see it. But when you go through that every day of your life and there is just certain volume that exists in the background of your life anytime you're around your family, you don't realize it, but it kind of creeps up on you. I'm sure grandparents feel the same way when the grandkids come over. Oh, you're excited to see them. But then there's a point where you're like,
whoa,
all right. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of sometimes that's the way it comes out. Depending on what else has happened in your day, what kind of good news you've had that day, what kind of stressful anxiety you've had during the day, the noise is there. It's always there. And you're used to it being there. But there's a point where it's just like, all of a sudden, you hear it. And you look at it, and you go, this is ridiculous. Chill out. And when it comes out, sometimes there's no like progression from you're sitting there, you're watching TV or you're working on your computer or you're folding laundry or you're cooking dinner. There's no progression from I'm just going about the day as a mom or as a dad minding my own business to, oh my gosh, I can't take it anymore. Like you're there because you've been building it in your head passively and then it just happens. The noise coming out of Washington, D.C. is a volume that we're all very used to. But we're all also getting to the point where we're realizing that the obnoxiousness that's coming out of Washington, D.C. needs to pipe down. And we are the adults in the room. You know, I saw someone tweet something about I'm losing faith in my legislators to do what's right for the American people. And this is a person who I adore and think the world of in what they do professionally. And I want to say, stop putting your faith in the lawmakers. Put your faith in the American people. And the American people need to speak up. The American people need to be heard. And the American people need to be at the center of everything we do in this country. And whoever wants to take that and move that ball forward, that's where I'm supporting. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Mark Cox in the next hour. And don't forget, a giveaway coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.